Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
But I gotta tell you, you are the man. You are a box of peanut brittle.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right, thanks to Jim Bowden. Who joined us last segment, former MLB GM for 16 years, worked for the Reds, and really, really informative. So informative, we're going to get Evan to cut some of it up, and we're going to replay the best 10 minutes of that at 1:30. It went longer than that, but Evan's going to cut it down. But Jim Bowden made no secret. He thinks the Giants made a
heist,
transcendent move,
no
almost,
doubt.
And that this is the kind of move that will not only elevate the Giants, but possibly elevate Buster Posey in terms of what he's accomplished in a relatively short period of time.
Yeah, and I don't know how many. I'm trying to work on an analogy, Stoney. How many at bats Buster has at the helm? You know, for this job he's done thus far, but he's batting 400 right now. You got to imagine. And Jim, Stoney, safe to say he would not, that move would not have happened on his watch.
Doesn't sound like that.
Man.
Doesn't sound like that. Zach Manassian is the San Francisco Giants general manager. He was on with Willard and Dibbs yesterday, Goo, and we had a caller early in the day talk about the way Manassian talked about Devers as a hitter. And I'm going to finally get around to it 3 hours later. But this is Manassian on what kind of hitter Rafael Devers is.
I think he's a bit of a hitting savant and power, hitting for average, using the entire field. You know, I actually think the ball flies relatively well to left field off the left-handed bat. I think, you know, just thinking back earlier this year, just thinking about a homer like he has hit off of Brian Wu, I really think we can see Rafi do that. And, you know, for as inviting as the monster is in Boston, it is pretty high up there. And, you know, maybe some of those balls that he drives high off the wall are carrying over the fence here. But I just think he's such a good offensive player. I think he's going to hit in any ballpark.
Ah, he's definitely not a one-trick pony, Stoney.
Yeah, I don't get the sense the ballpark figured into this acquisition even a little bit. I think they view Devers as a player that can hit anywhere. Maybe his home runs will be affected marginally, but he's going to essentially be the same kind of hitter here in San Francisco that he's been in Boston. And if he does that, if he's in the same neighborhood, then he'll automatically become the Giants' best offensive player.
And Stoney, OPS of 907 we talked about, but he leads the league with 55 walks. So it's just not, you know, feast or famine. Like we could, that's Bonds-like when they know what you are. They're so afraid of you, but your eye-hand coordination is so stellar that you know, you're not taking the bait, and you'll take a walk. You know what I mean? So not only can he hit with power, he can spray it everywhere. And man, oh man, I expect to stand in ovation for him tonight, his first at bat.
888-957-9570 is the number. Giants fans, it's been a whirlwind 2 days.
Christmas-like,
I mean,
would you say? Christmas.
I would say that just off the top of my head, obviously when they signed Adames, it was a big move. I think getting Chapman and Snell were significant, but this is, I think, in another stratosphere in terms of the excitement level of Giants fans. This is something totally different, and I think part of the reason is because you went out and got Snell. You kind of knew it was a rental. You went out and got Chapman. You knew it was going to be, let's see if this guy can fit in here. And they ended up signing Chapman long term. Mm-hmm. But I sense that so much of this excitement for Devers is he's 28 and he's under contract for a while. So, yeah, would you like to see him make a significant difference right now and the Giants make a run and go deep into the playoffs? Of course, but I also think it's about having a guy like this in your lineup next year, the year after, the year after that, and the year after that.
No doubt about it. And again, I'll just I'm so excited. I keep trying to make a comparison, but I won't because it speaks for itself. But you're right, Stoney. They got a steward, a face of the franchise, and I don't think you'll mind me saying, because we've kind of been saying it without saying it all show long, the baseball part of this makes no sense. Devers should not have, you know, a guy of his caliber should not have gone for a bag of beans. No shade at anybody that the Giants gave up, but, you know, if it was just baseball, about baseball, this does not happen.
No, no.
That's all I get. That's what's crazy.
I mean, I think we see that with a lot of trades. If it would have been just basketball, Jimmy Butler wouldn't be a Golden State Warrior probably at this point. I just made a couple. I jotted down a couple trades that have happened because, you know, this one looks like it could be an all-timer.
Right.
We know we got to wait and see what happens with all the players involved in the trade. But, you know, you said this could go down as one of the greatest trades ever. We can talk about a few of them right now. McCaffrey traded and acquired mid-season. What about this one? Monte Ellis for Andrew Bogut.
Now go ahead.
Yeah, it didn't pay off right away because Bogut was hurt. But a lot of people feel like that Bogut for Monte Ellis trade set the table for the Warriors' future titles. But did it have an immediate impact? No. In fact, it kind of solidified that the Warriors weren't going to make the playoffs that year because they traded a healthy Monte Ellis for an injured Andrew Bogut, but a lot of people do say that was kind of the starting point of the dynasty.
Yeah, I can't get mad at that, but in the meantime, when that was announced, I didn't feel like I was mad. I was hurt, Stoney, on the air part-time, and I was just like, I had my wagon hitched to Monte, and it was like Steph leaving, but I couldn't see, you know, greener pastures were on the horizon. But as far as the initial shock value of what you gave up and what you got back, you know, I'm with you on the McCaffrey, but the Niners and the Niner fans had experienced what it was like going to the Super Bowl pre-McCaffrey. You know, we think of the Warriors, even though last year was going bad and they got Jimmy Butler, he helped salvage that season to get, you know, qualify for the playoffs. But it's been a minute, but this one for the Giants, and Jim just said it, Stoney, this has all the ingredients for whatever you want. He talked about the division. You're talking the playoffs. And, you know, who's to know? We'll find out if the World Series is off the table. Like, that's how big of a boom the Giants and Buster Posey just made with this acquisition.
Does this – if you're a Giants fan and you've watched over the last, let's say, half a dozen years, and you watch the Giants come up short with – you know, whether it's Otani or Judge, Bryce Harper. I mean, does this make up for it? Does it make up for the fact that you haven't been able to sign free agents? And my answer is absolutely positively it does. And why I'm saying that is because I absolutely think there is an issue signing free agent hitters to come to San Francisco. Why they haven't gotten any.
Can we say there had been and give Buster the benefit of the doubt, even though this came via trade?
What do you mean?
Like, we can't take it out. Like, he hasn't struck out yet that way. And, you know, as far as getting a free agent here, I don't think he's been here long enough for us to say that trend will continue. Even though you got Devers in a trade, I feel like we can't put that, you know, under Buster's umbrella yet. Maybe that's come to a head.
Well, I think he's smart enough to know that it's an uphill battle.
Thing. Well, he told us. Well, yeah, he talked about San Francisco.
I mean, it's absolutely an issue. This is not considered a hitter's park. So a hitter who's a free agent isn't going to want to come here for the most part. But I look at that as a strength of Buster Posey. You know, remember when Farhan Zaidi did that interview and he said, well, there's some challenges here in San Francisco and, you know, it's not easy to get guys to come in here. Like, that doesn't change to me just because of Buster Posey. It might, but to me, it's Buster Posey being more pragmatic and saying what a lot of GMs say when they have to deal with their own franchise's limitations. Yeah. You're not gonna be able to go out and get free agents like the Yankees or the Padres. You gotta trade for a guy and get him in here and see if you can get him to love the place. And I don't think it's a coincidence that they've got three bigger names in their lineup now than they've had 5 years ago at this time.
And I want to put some respect on Jeff Kent's name, too. Remember, Sabian traded fan favorite Matt Williams at the time for Jeff Kent. And how did that work out? They almost got it done. They didn't. But, I mean, he was a fixture and went on to have success. But this is just different, Steiny. And the beautiful thing about it is I'm going to go beauty pageant. And you know me, we're in an era in a world of stars, and I keep talking about it. And I know this is umpteen time. You won't see me for a couple of days, Donnie. Otani, Machado, Tatis, Soto, Judge, all those guys. Now you have a contestant in the beauty pageant that's up there. This guy, that type caliber player.
Yeah.
Like, that's a big deal. And it starts tonight.
Yeah. And this from the text line, you know, Buster got Adamas. I don't put him in that. You know, I don't put him in that class. I really don't.
It was a good move, though. They needed him.
I don't. Well, we'll see. No, right, I mean, it's not like, you know.
It's not over yet.
I'm sure it'll be. Yeah. It'll probably work out fine.
But we just had a former general manager on for 16 years in the major leagues, exec of the year. You would have thought that was Shasky. He said everything we've been thinking. Like, I don't need anybody to validate my opinion, Steiny, but looking at this thing from a fan perspective and not a GM, he said a ski mask was involved. Like, this is crazy. Rick Barry. Like, you know, Boston was this might be the baseball version of the Luka trade.
Yeah, I mean.
Well, we don't even know if that. It might be worse. Well, Dallas got Anthony Davis back.
Yeah, Jim Bowden referenced the Luka trade. He said he felt like there were some similarities for sure. But you know, when I look at the Giants not being able to get Otani, let's say Judge, Harper, you can put Stanton in there. Did Adamas sign here? Yes, he signed here, but he's not in those guys' league. Like those,
they're
not going to get one of those guys. And the other thing, and this was the other thing that Jim Bowden referenced, and it was about Adamas, and I feel like he made me understand something.
Okay.
And it's, look, Adamas is a good player, good player. But when he said he was willing to come to San Francisco, I'm sorry, at that point, you jump up the Giants' priority list because not everybody wants to play here. And so if you get a player who's willing to play here, I think then you go make the effort to see if you can acquire him. And to my way of thinking, Adamas was always open to San Francisco, especially because they were willing to pay him. But the other guys, I don't really think they were open to San Francisco. Mm-hmm. I don't think they were coming to San Francisco regardless.
The numbers
of
back
who
you
was
up,
here.
Sonny. The numbers back you up.
Right. And so when you get a nice player like Adamas and you think you can kind of build around him and he's good for your culture, you go ahead and do it. And then you go get Devers in a trade and now you're looking like a legitimate offensive baseball team.
No doubt about it. And I don't want to you know, I talked about yesterday the domino effect that a guy like Devers will have on everybody in the lineup. But I think Ramos has gotten better. Jung-Hoo, just the whole line, every hitter in the lineup will be better because this guy's a fixture in your thing most every night.
Yeah, and that's another thing. We'll see.
We'll see. Yeah,
we'll see how much he can help the guys that are around him in the lineup. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey sports station in the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries. Always live on the free Odyssey app. Coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. Laughing Monk, righteously brewed in San Francisco. If you're just joining us, we had 16-year Major League Baseball executive Jim Bowden on at about 12:15 today. And if you're a Giants fan and you missed it, you're going to want to check it out. And we're going to play the highlights of that interview at 1:30. And I would suggest that if you're a Giants fan, you tune in because you're going to be super excited about what Jim Bowden said. He is very...
play that at the pressers, Donnie.
Yeah, very, very bullish on this Giants trade. And then at 2:30, when Willard and Dibbs get in here, or whoever's hosting for him today, I'm not exactly sure. Maybe they'll both be in here. We'll find
Ms.
that
Dibbs.
Out.
Yeah.
At 2:30, we will have the Rafael Devers press conference from Oracle Park. And, of course, the Giants take on the Cleveland Indians in a three-game series.
Just think how we because now Guardians. You got me fired up. Jim and you have me fired up in the fans. But we talk about the Warriors, right? Stanley, they just won a title 3 years, 2022. And if you don't need a calculator, that's just 3 years ago. But it feels like forever and a day. If you want to get real, but the Giants haven't won at all, and I know I'm doing too much with this, but it's fun. Stoney, their last title was 11 years ago, so if somehow this move propels them to get back and get close to it, I mean, man, it's been a while is all that I'm saying since the last time they were Kings of the Hill.
This is Zach Manassian from yesterday, and Will just simply asking him whether he expected to be in the lineup tonight.
I sure hope so. I think it's worth planning on it. We haven't talked to him, like I said, but my expectation is for Rafi to be in the lineup. So I'm a fan just like everyone else, and I'm eagerly waiting to see. But I feel pretty comfortable he's likely to be in there.
All right, and that game's tonight.
Yeah, I'd be shocked, huh, if he's not in there.
Well, the Giants have had issues with physicals before, right?
I'll give you right.
Carlos Correa.
Yeah. Man, I forgot all about that one.
They saw something they didn't like, and he never made it here. Devers, on the other hand, is here, and Giants fans are super excited, and they should be. You're not going to be able to get out to the ball yard,
I'm going to live through Evan.
Future.
I'll live vicariously through Evan. And then this weekend is where I wanted to, when his whole team comes back. That place is going to be a zoo. It's going to be a zoo tonight, but Boston's in town for the weekend.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the numbers, attendance-wise at the ballpark, you've seen in the last two or three weeks, the numbers have been terrific, and I got to believe that this week's going to be pretty darn good, too.
How many jerseys do we see, Stoney? 16 Devers.
I kind of wonder what tonight's quote-unquote walk-up crowd would be if you kind of be able to tell if Devers has put more butts in the seats, and if so, how many. But again, their last midweek series against the Padres, of course, Padres a little bit higher profile, they drew very well in that three-game series, though there was a fair amount of Padres fans there.
I'm looking at Ralphie's baseball reference page, Donnie. His nickname, Carita, Ralphie, and this one I like, Big Stick. Yeah. Use it tonight.
Well, we'll see. Ray going tonight for the...
needs to have a better start than he did last week in Colorado.
Well,
Ray. I know the air's different up there, but, man.
Who did hold on, I wanted to play some more sound for you, but I forget.
Give me the hater, Law.
Well, he only has one other thing. It's about Hayden Birdsong. Here, I haven't heard any hate yet from Keith Law, but we must have missed it.
Birdsong in the rotation, like Hicks in the rotation, was a mess. I've been saying that forever. I'm obviously not the only one. I think Hayden Birdsong's going to be really good. If I was looking for a sort of sleeper pick to break out for them in the second half, that's my guy.
Man, he's already doing it in the first half. He's handling his business.
Yeah, I mean, he, you know, without Harrison, without Hicks, we'll find out when Verlander gets back. Jermaine Wiggins works for WEEI in Boston, and he was also asked about what went wrong in Boston with Devers and the organization, and he's somebody who obviously works in Boston and knows a little bit, so we're trying to get to the bottom of it all.
You didn't communicate with your best player in the offseason about the fact that you were going to bring in a guy that was going to take his position. That's where it went wrong. So you didn't communicate that with him. Who the hell knows what you told him? It seemed like you told him that he was going to get an opportunity to play third base. And maybe you told him, hey, you're going to play third. We're going to put Bregman at second base. You didn't communicate with your best player on what his role was going to be in the offseason so you could at least cushion the blow a little bit. Let him, you know, cry and pout and do all he has to do in the offseason. So when he rolls into spring training, he's past the mindset of like, okay, all right, they did me dirty. I'm going to move on, and I'm willing to just DH, and that's all you want me to do. That was their problem.
Wow. That was Jermaine Wiggins, WEEI in Boston.
Stani, do you have a problem if all that intel is correct and they didn't do that? That's borderline negligence.
Yeah, you know what? The guy who came to mind for me while I was listening to that is Brandon Ayuk. And, you know, I'm not saying they're the same situation, but, you know, we were talking about Ayuk, you know, a week or so ago, and you said to me, like, he got his money. He got his money. What can he be so upset about?
I remember.
And I said he must be upset about touches. Well, I get it. Devers has done a little more in his career than Ayuk, but I mean, Devers just got a $315 million contract. They're asking you to do something a little bit different.
Like, well, he feels like he's worth more than that, so he's not skipping because they gave him that money. That's one. Stani, if you want to just look at the numbers and the rings, he's definitely backed it up. So this was about, I guess, respect. And I guess that's what you're saying Ayuk is talking about, even though I disagree. But
well, they're both making tons of money, and neither of them were happy in the situations that they were in. And
I was just saying one has done more than the other.
Yeah, no doubt about that. I just, you know, I mean, money alone doesn't make these guys happy. Mm. It's also about their roles and, you know, how many touches they're getting and how many at-bats they're getting and where they're, you know, where they're playing in the field.
I'll tell you what, Stani, if I'm a GM, I don't know if they did this even pre-social media, but I'm scouring every day just looking at the socials to see a relationship that got rotten or toxic between a superstar that you would have thought, you know, you never even would have dreamed would be available. Now it feels like, you know, stuff is jumping off so fast, quick in a hurry. You could have a guy all because, you know, relationship went sour.
This from the 510 for $355 million. You should play anywhere you're asked, period. That from the 510. And then this from the YouTube chat.
Give it to me.
From Dennis. Both Ayuk and Devers felt disrespected by their teams. I think that's probably safe to say.
Well, I'll say this to you about that, Stani. Devers, I get. They brought in somebody to basically take your position. Ayuk, I don't get.
Well,
you're not Jerry Rice. You're not even Devers. And I like you as a receiver. You're acting like you are Jamar Chase or CeeDee Lamb. I ask you again real quick, Stani, because I know you're not Ayuk. You really think it's
about his role. It's about his role. And to me, it was about Devers' role in Boston. He didn't like not playing the field.
Oh, okay.
And Ayuk doesn't like not getting the ball.
Okay. I hear you. Let me just tell you what's really a thorn in my side about the Ayuk situation. it's not like you got the Dan Fouts offense with Wes Chandler and John Jefferson. You know what I'm saying? So you know what offense they're running. Nobody's putting up numbers like that. So that's why I'm just perplexed at Ayuk, because you knew you never were going to put up CeeDee Lamb and Justin Jefferson type numbers. Now, if somebody else was doing it and the ball wasn't coming your way, then I would understand. And Devers, Steiny, I'm just totally with them on. And like Jim said, oh my gosh, Ortiz, my gosh, that's all he did was DH. But he's standing on business. Y'all took my position without consulting me.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing is some guys don't want a DH. Some guys do want to play the field. And, you know, what if that's Devers? Maybe that's what Devers is going to do when he gets here. He's going to say, look, I just want to play the field. If you want to put me at first base, I'll try to learn first base, which I wasn't going to do with Boston because they disrespected me.
Yeah, and that may not happen this year if he's really that unfamiliar with it, you know.
What's coming up on the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. Traveling in 2025? Start your journey right at the San Francisco International Airport. With the most nonstop flights from the Bay Area, easy parking, live performances, and tasty food, why settle for less? Fly from SFO, where your best journeys begin. Visit flysfo.com. All right, coming up at 1:30, Evan cut up the Jim Bowden interview, cut it down to about 10, 12 minutes. And if you didn't hear it and you're a Giants fan, you're going to want to listen to this because it's going to make you feel even better about the trade than you likely already feel, which is pretty darn good. 888-957-9570 if you want to jump in before the Jim Bowden interview on 95.7 The Game.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And so they let their ego get in the way, and they said, okay, it's my way or the highway, dude. You gone. Bye-bye. You gone.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
It was former Major League executive Jim Bowden talking about Rafael Devers and what happened in Boston. And he is very high on the trade that the Giants made. And we had him on about an hour ago. We're going to replay the best parts of that interview in about 10 minutes. And again, if you're a Giants fan and you feel good about this trade, if you want to feel even better, take a listen at 1:30 because you'll be feeling even better.
Yeah.
About this move for sure. You watched the NBA finals?
Yeah. And I'm a little mad at, Coach Carlisle from the Pacers. I thought McConnell was cooking. That's a bad boy. And then he brought Nembhard in, Steiny, who was just throwing the ball away like Durant did against the Warriors in the 16 in Western Conference Finals. But, yeah, I watched. And I think it's a wrap tomorrow, Thursday.
In Indiana.
Yeah.
Yeah, Halliburton's got an injury. He didn't have a field goal last night. So
had ice on the calf. That's not good.
Yeah, so, Indiana's in a little bit of trouble, if you will.
Can I say another little NBA tidbit I had?
Give it
to
me.
I won't see you for a little while. So, it was 16, when Durant, 4th of July, right? He made the announcement. It's 2025, 9 years later, and dude's still the big ticket on the free agent market. Kudos to KD. You ain't gonna win nothing, but You a bad boy if you're doing it like that still.
Well, if he goes to Houston, he could win something, right?
I think he can win in San Antonio.
Apparently, San Antonio is...
What happened?
Things have cooled off a little bit there. You know, the other thing is they... Technically, he's not a free agent. They got to trade him, but it seems like they're absolutely going to trade him.
He said he didn't want to play at your, with Ant-Man. It said Minnesota report.
Yeah.
Evan put that on the Vine. You didn't take it personal, did you?
Why would I?
It was a joke.
Yeah. I heard he was talking about the Spurs, the Rockets, and the Miami Heat, yeah. Of course. Did you hear what Del Curry said, Steph Curry's dad? He said that Steph Curry, his son, is nowhere near retiring.
Well, there you go.
He said, we're not even close to that window yet.
Wow. So operation all in for Steph. We get it.
Then go ahead and extend him again.
I mean, would you really be shocked? I wouldn't.
After
that. Like, why did he say that? Like that, I mean, man, I don't ever want him to stop playing, but if you're going to give me what you did after Jimmy, you still, like, nobody's shocked that Steph is still baking. The chef is still baking.
Yeah, I mean, he's got two more years left. He theoretically could sign a one-year deal, one-year extension, again, this offseason, but. I mean, right now they're all lined up, Butler, Draymond Green, and Steph Curry. So I was thinking about some other trades.
Okay.
Would this one count? We're talking about the Devers trade, and, you know, the Giants obviously not giving up a ton, and they may have gotten a real difference maker. What about, I have Jimmy Butler, obviously, okay. For Wiggins.
McCaffrey's a great one.
I have McCaffrey. What about this one? I think I have it right. Steve Young. For a second and fourth round pick.
That's from Tampa Bay, right?
That's a pretty good trade.
Yeah. You got a ring. Trade. Could have had a few more.
And then I saw, and this probably doesn't count, but the 49ers moved up to get Jerry Rice.
Mississippi Valley.
And they ended up taking him with a 16th pick, and I think they gave up a second and a fourth or something, or maybe a first and a third, but they ended up moving up to get Jerry Rice, yeah. So that was obviously a good move.
What were your thoughts on Jeff Kent? That didn't do nothing to you, because Matt Williams was a fan favorite when they did it, and him and Bonds made beautiful music. Kent and Bonds didn't get it done, but you know, yeah.
Kent's one of my favorite Giants. So
now that I never knew.
Yeah, I like Jeff Kent. He's great. He should be in the Hall of Fame.
He was a bad boy.
Let's go to Philmo. Philmo Mike is in the building. What's up, Philmo? How you doing, man?
I'm good. I know y'all got a lot of stuff going on, man. The addition from Rafi, aka Big Stick, it's a good look because everybody goes down a notch. Sort of like with the Jimmy Butler trade, he came right in under Steph, or even with Steph, however you want to look at it. But whatever it is, it fills a void or it takes up a gap. Then everybody kind of like moves down. You feel me? As far as pecking order, so I love that. Guru, I'm gonna give you a 0.5. I heard that little Tom Sula reference about 2 hours ago, hour and a half ago. I'm gonna get at a 0.5. That was horrible. Try to do the Tom Sula. I heard that. And then my last point was that the I pulled a U, Guru. I forgot what
it
the
hurt.
Hell I was
oh Mike, say. Yeah, it hurts, man. Take a second.
Yeah, man, that hurts.
Yeah, Steph Curry.
It's more so about, you just were talking about it. I can't remember. It's good. I'll remember in about 30 seconds. I hate it.
Hey, real quick, Mike, how was Steve Young? Yeah, oh, Steve Young?
What about Steve Young?
Oh, no, we were trying to
Jerry Rice?
Jog your memory.
Yeah, we're just trying to jog your memory, exactly.
Oh, no. It wasn't about that.
All right, hey.
No, the hate. It was about the hate.
There you go.
Dude was definitely hating on Posey this morning. He was hating on Posey. But
who was
Steve
Long?
I don't know where it came from. It came out of left field.
Shasky did a little bit too much on the defending, but he peeped it, Guru. You peeped it.
I didn't know Shasky had that interaction with him, but I'm going to listen, go to the Odyssey app and listen to it all. But yeah, there was something there, Mike. Like,
Filmo, give me a detail, because I missed it. I only heard the first half of it.
Spadoni asked the question, and Cuz was like, Posey really didn't have that much to do with it. Like, bro, what are you talking about? He's the GM or the president of baseball operations. So it was some hate, but he didn't lie, but it was definitely some hate. It was some, I don't know what's going on. And then Shasky called him a stat dork or something like that. That was kind of shady.
Yeah, right.
Let me guess, after the phone was hung up.
Of course.
Hey, Mike, last thing. How was the Juneteenth function? We lost him.
Yeah, he hung up.
Oh, I got to go back and listen to that.
Speedy Claxton for Baron Davis. That's a pretty good one. Somebody else was in that trade, too. Was it Dale Davis for Baron Davis?
Oh, you know what? I wanted to ask you your thoughts on a real fight. Lance Stevenson and Dwight Howard in the Big Three. No suspensions. They reviewed everything Big Three handed out. No suspensions. That was a little something.
Well, then it wasn't a fight.
No, they hooked up.
But there was no suspension?
Yeah.
Well, then it wasn't a fight.
Well, the Big Three needed to field the team, so they probably didn't want to.
Well, they have subs.
Hey, what about what I showed you during the break? The game I was at last Friday, the Giants, Braves, there was a play at the plate and some Neanderthal threw another ball. They got video of the kid throwing the ball and running off. They're going to find him. He'll be banned.
Did that just happen?
Yeah. They're going to find him, Stani. Somebody's going to rat him out. He'll be banned.
Okay. But maybe that's the only game he was going to anyway. And you know what?
I get all
what
of that.
What if he can't stand Rafael Devers? Yeah. He doesn't want to go anyway.
Yeah.
You missed it, Stani. Lubman put show.
Oh. Yep. Read it all.
No.
You just told Mike to put it all out there.
This is about teammates.
Okay.
So I don't want.
We don't do that.
No, I don't want to. I don't want to. You missed it, Steiny. Lubman and Shasky. Da da da.
I'm gonna go watch. Listen,
I got into it once with Keith Law about 8 years ago.
But nothing was like your fight against Bontemps. I'll never forget that. That Saturday. You know what, Tim? Because he had said something, poked you.
Oh yeah, he was.
And you went in.
Yeah, he's talking about Rod Thorne making the.
We got to find that audio, man. It still exists.
Yeah, I don't know. It's we don't have to go back in that. Lastly, LeBron James is going to play another year. It looks like you.
Yeah, and he's talking about
getting that knee healthy.
He's talking about getting into acting too. Like, you've been acting every time you think you get fouled. I'll give myself a 3. That's pretty good.
Well, yeah, I guess.
You gonna miss me? I'm gonna miss you guys.
How long are you going for?
I'll be back Thursday.
No, you won't. Why would you come back on a Thursday? Why don't you just come back on a Friday? Nobody's gonna expect you on a Thursday.
But I love what I do.
I know, but
and who I do
you're gonna
with.
Catch you're gonna catch people by surprise. If you come back on a Thursday.
Let's move on. I heard the boss got a haircut.
Okay, that's great.
Talk about yours, huh?
We don't have to talk about mine. We don't have to talk about his. We don't have to talk about anything. Anyway, we're gonna be playing Jim Bowden again, and he is extremely. Oh, there's one other piece of news that I'll quick say, and then we'll get to Evan so he can play this. Bobby Portis.
Okay, BP?
Yeah, he's not really into the Warriors.
Now, what makes you say that?
Because he went on a talk show.
Oh, Lord.
And
he said
they asked him about, hey, the Warriors are supposed to be interested because he declined an option. He's going to be a free agent. And he simply said, you know, where does this stuff even come from? Who's talking to all these people? Do you really think they know what they're talking about? I don't think they know what they're talking about. I wouldn't want to have that job. I don't think they know what they're talking about. So he threw a little cold water on it.
We'll see.
Yeah. All right. You want to do this, E?
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
The details behind the Diddy indictment, Taylor Swift's stalkers, Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You want to do the Jimmy Bowden? All right. We had Jim Bowden on at 12:15, 16-year Major League Baseball general manager. And we had him on, obviously, talking about the Rafael Devers trade to the San Francisco Giants, and started out the interview by saying, what are your overall thoughts about this trade?
Well, my initial thoughts were thinking back when Buster Posey was winning those three world championships, and he was always wearing a mask behind home plate, and I never understood why, but I guess it was because he was going to commit a robbery, and that's exactly what he finally did on June 15th of 2025. This is just an incredible game-changing trade that will go down in history as one of the most lopsided trades in San Francisco Giants history. It's a game-changer, and the first thing I felt was really relieved and happy for San Francisco Giants fans and the organization who tried for years to sign the big free agents, you know, whether it be Aaron Judge or Shohei Ohtani or Giancarlo Stanton or Carlos Correa, whatever it's been over the years. And Buster Posey found a way to do it without doing it in free agency. He found a way to do it with a trade. And look, this is an exciting time. I mean, the Giants have not had a left-hand power bat like this since Barry Bonds. He's hit 30 homers three different times in his career. He's going to do it again this year for the fourth time. You know, he's a 3.8 WAR player per 162 games. That's what he is. He's 28 years old in his prime. He can flat out hit, and he has a good personality too. So don't listen to what people are saying in New England about him, because this is a great, great kid. So I'm really happy for the Giants, and for Buster Posey's first big trade to be of this magnitude is just, it's amazing, because if you're Boston and you're going to trade Devers to San Francisco, you have to get the first baseman Aldridge. You have to get either Birdsong or Roop to start the deal. That has to be part of the deal. And for them to make the deal the way they did, it's just, it's incredible.
Jim, I mean, you're speaking our language and you're coming in hot, and I agree with you. And I, as a fan, I thought it was just me. And you look at the money, 8.5 years left, $255 million. We're trying to find any downside from the Giants making this trade, and it sounds like there's none. If I were to ask you that, how would you answer?
Yeah, I can. And I'll also add to this that Devers is underpaid for what he does. Mm. And, you know, people aren't talking about the $7.5 million that's deferred per year, right? That brings a net present value even lower than that. And you've got him in his prime years. That's the other best part of this deal. You're not taking him to age 40, 41 like the Manny Machado deal or some of these other contracts. So it's a really good deal for the player. And I think people shouldn't worry about position. You know, I don't think he's ever going to be a good defender. He's worth it for the bat. And you know, we look at Shohei Ohtani DHing for the Dodgers, or we look at Giancarlo Stanton DHing for the New York Yankees, and both of them are getting paid more than Devers. And so it's okay to pay a DH this kind of money when you have that kind of bat. And, you know, maybe he ends up playing first base for San Francisco, but even if he doesn't, even as the DH, you finally got a middle-of-the-order impact bat that's a game-changer. It's like what happened when the Cubs acquired Kyle Tucker in the offseason. Kyle Tucker changed the Cubs. Mm. He made the Cubs a first-place team. That's what he did. And you have a Giants team right now that is second to the Mets in team ERA. You got two aces at the top of the rotation that can run the table in October. You just didn't have the offense. You didn't have that big bat that when the team is slumping can carry you. And now you have it. So this was just a great trade. And look, for Boston, you got two failed starters. And look, I'm not saying Harrison someday, 3 years from now, might not develop into a middle of the rotation starter if command and control comes. It's possible. Hicks is a middle reliever. That's what he is. You know, I like Tibbs. I think he has a plus hit tool and a plus power tool, but he is never going to be Devers. He's never going to be an all-star. He's never going to win a Silver Slugger or a Gold Glove. He's the best player Boston got in the trade. And the young kid, and the teenager that weighs 160 pounds in rookie ball, yes, he's got a good arm and he's blowing the fastball by people. You know, the odds on him making are probably somewhere between 1% and 3%. That's the odds. So at the end of the day, this was an absolute heist. It was a robbery. And we now know why Buster Posey was wearing a mask all those years. It wasn't because he was a catcher.
Jim Bowden joining us on 95.7 The Game. Longtime general manager, executive of the year. Let me ask you this, because we were talking about Buster Posey, and he's got a reputation, but he doesn't have any experience in the front office, and Giants fans have been used to kind of striking out on hitters for the most part, and now he's been here less than a year, and they've got Chapman under contract, they've got Adames under contract, and now they have Devers under contract. Can one guy just change the reputation, the perception, and the strategy of a team moving forward? Why is this all just galvanized now, do you think?
Well, the answer is yes, and it's because Buster Posey is a special human being. Let's keep in mind, Buster Posey has made enough money, he doesn't have to work the rest of his life. He's choosing to do this. This is a choice from a multimillionaire that has decided to give back to baseball and give back to San Francisco Giants baseball. He wants to do this for a living. And this is a huge job. This is a grind. This is not easy. And he has decided to go all in. He also came in without having all the answers. He came in with a collaborative approach. You know, he hired Zach Manassian to be the GM who had been there. He respects the scouts. He respects the analytic people. He listens to everybody. You can just tell in the conversations we've had with him. He'll pivot. If he has to pivot, he'll adjust. But he knows how to build a culture. He won 3 world championships as a player, and he knows what it's like in the clubhouse when you win. You know, if you'll notice, the Giants don't make a lot of quick moves under Buster Posey. He'll give players a runway. Now, he'll hold them accountable, ask Lamont Wade. Like, he'll hold you accountable, but he'll give you a longer pathway than most teams will because that's the culture he wants to build. And you're not going to see a team that's going to be wheeling and dealing and changing the roster and signing a lot of short-term deals or signing big contracts with opt-outs. That's not what Buster Posey's about. He's going to build togetherness. He's going to build that championship culture that he knows what it's like because he played on 3 world championship teams. He will always focus on starting pitching and relief and defense. He always will. But he also understands you got to have some big bats in the middle to score enough runs without pitching and defense. And that's what he did with Devers and Adames. And by the way, Adames, I don't know if the fans are on Adames or not, but he'll be fine. Don't worry about him. Most guys, when they sign that big free agent contract, it's the second year they're with a team where they live up to what their custom level is. So don't worry about the slow start. He's fine. And Adames is one of those signings that's really significant in terms of what Buster Posey is about, because Adames brings high energy and enthusiasm to the ballpark every day. He's a positive influence, and he cares about teammates as much as he cares about himself. And that's a very important leadership element to have at shortstop.
Jim, we were just having a conversation, and my partner asked me about the expectations, and I said they've gone through the roof for me. I thought the Giants got off to a good start, but I didn't know if they had staying power. Can you share with us here in the Bay Area what you thought of the Giants before the trade and now the heights they can reach possibly with Rafael?
Well, I thought before the trade they were a wild card team, and I thought they were a wild card team because of the pitching and the defense and the development of some of the young pitching. And the fact that, you know, Robbie Ray's got that changeup going. And so when you got him and Webb at the top, and then you got Birdsong and Roop, you got a really good four-man rotation. You got Doval pitching better. And it's a decent defensive team for sure, especially when Chapman's out there. So I felt like this was a wild card team. Now I feel like it's a playoff team. So I'm not going to go as far as telling you I think they're going to beat the Dodgers and win the division. I think that's going to depend upon the health of Tyler Glasnow and Blake Snell and Otani and that starting pitching the Dodgers have. Dodgers still have a better lineup top to bottom. That's not going to change. But are the Giants good enough to win the division right now? Yeah, they are. And if not, they're a playoff team.
Jim Bowden joining us on 95.7 The Game, former MLB GM for 16 years. We're talking about Rafael Devers, who's now a San Francisco Giant. Jim, you're talking about Devers. You said he's a great kid. We're hearing a little different things now coming out of Boston, which isn't completely unexpected. But I guess my question is, if you're the Red Sox, how do you let a guy like this go? What did it come down to?
Well, we know when mankind doesn't live up to expectations, it's usually because of ego, right? When we fail as a country, usually an ego gets in the way somewhere rather than intelligence. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what happened in Boston. I think the egos got in the way and from the front office to ownership in this situation. So let's go through how they got there. It started in the offseason when they didn't talk to Devers before they signed Bregman. They did not talk to Devers until after they signed Bregman and told him that he was going to be a DH. So the way they handled it, you alienated the player. And then it took the player a month to decide that, okay, I'll DH for you guys. And then the season started. He got off to a terrible start. He didn't hit at all those first 2 weeks. Then he accepted the position, and he crushed. I mean, he was arguably top two or three in baseball in the month of May. I mean, he and Aaron Judge were just dominating the American League in the month of May, both of them. And then you have the injury to Tristan Cassis, and they said, go play first base. And he's like, wait, no. No, I just went, no. And at that moment, the owner flew in, and he and Alex Cora met with Devers. Breslow talked to him, and they had no idea how to reach Rafael Devers. They didn't know how to communicate with him. They didn't understand him. And so they let their ego get in the way, and they said, okay, it's my way or the highway, dude. You gone. Bye-bye. You gone. And so, you know, they made a bad trade, and they lost their best hitter and best player. I mean, that's what they just did. Like, I'm not going to make any excuses for them. This is a huge mistake by them. And by the way, if you're going to trade Devers, shop them. They didn't shop them to all 29 teams. They shopped them to some, or they talked to some teams, San Diego, Atlanta. There were some conversations. But I've had multiple GMs tell me that they had no idea. They were totally shocked, and that Boston had never talked to them about Devers. And one team in particular would have made a play on him. And so the other thing, too, is I think if you waited to July 31st, Buster Posey, you know, he may have given you the first baseman. He might have. Wow. I don't know if that's a fact, but it's possible at the last hour. Sure. But they wanted him gone, and they wanted to show everyone who's boss, and they thought it was a bad influence on the young players that they wouldn't do exactly what they said.
No doubt, Jim. Let me ask you this, and I want to throw any rocks at Farhan, but you mentioned Buster Posey. You guys were talking about him, and rightfully so. We're excited. Do you think, Jim, this deal gets done if there were no Buster Posey?
I don't. I think this is a Buster Posey deal. I think he and Zach Manassian, who appear to have a great relationship, I think the ownership plays a big part, and I think Buster Posey's leadership plays a big part because he understands, you know, one of the things that's sometimes hard to explain to owners when you're trying to make transactions or deals of this magnitude, they sometimes have a hard time understanding all the issues, and they might have struggled with Devers refusing to, you know, go to DH initially and refusing to go to first, and why would Boston and all those kind of things. And Buster's experience in a calm way, I think he's got the trust of ownership to let him make those final decisions. And I think that's huge. I'm not sure if Farhan would have had as easy a job getting it approved, but I don't know that as a fact.
Jim, thank you so much for joining us.
Great stuff.
Man, people are excited out here, and you made them more excited.
Well, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
All righty, that was Jim Bowden. We'll talk about it on the other side during the crossover. The Valkyries, they take on the Dallas Wings today at 5, and you can hear the game on the Odyssey app. Just download the app and search Valkyries and tune in at 5 o'clock for the action. Also, tomorrow we're going to be giving you a chance to go see Caitlin Clark and the Indiana Fever. They play here on Thursday. Listen between noon and 12:30 tomorrow for your chance to go see one of the greatest players in all of sports. You can also listen to the game right here on 95.7 The Game. For your tickets, go to Valkyries.com. That segment brought to you by Safeway.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.